Hamlet by William Shakespeare. The cast of characters for Hamlet are Claudius, King of Denmark, Hamlet, son to the former and nephew to the present king, Polonius, Lord Chamberlain, Horatio, a friend to Hamlet, Laertes, son to Polonius, and then there's a series of courtiers who work in the court of the king. There's Voltimand, Cornelius, Rosencrantz, Guildenstern, Osric, a gentleman, and a priest. There are two officers, Marcellus and Bernardo, a soldier, Francisco, Rinaldo, servant of Polonius, a number of players. There'll be two clowns, who are gravediggers, Fortinbras, who's the Prince of Norway, a Norwegian captain. There'll be the English ambassadors, Gertrude, Queen of Denmark and mother of Hamlet, Ophelia, daughter to Polonius. There'll be the ghost of Hamlet's father, and there'll be various lords, ladies, officers, soldiers, sailors, messengers, attendants. And the setting for Hamlet is Denmark. During the play, I'll be reading stage directions such as enter and exit. At the end of each scene, there's a word called exeunt, which means the players, the actors, exit the stage, and it's the final part of the scene. Act 1, Scene 1. Enter Bernardo and Francisco, two sentinels. Bernardo, who's there? Francisco, nay, answer me. Stand and unfold yourself. Bernardo, long live the king. Francisco, Bernardo? Bernardo, he. Francisco, you come most carefully upon your hour. Bernardo, 'tis now struck 12. Get thee to bed, Francisco. Francisco, for this relief and much thanks, 'tis bitter cold, and I am sick at heart. Bernardo, have you had quiet guard? Francisco, not a mouse stirring. Bernardo, well, good night. If you do meet Horatio and Marcellus, the rivals of my watch, bid them make haste. Enter Horatio and Marcellus. Francisco, I think I hear them. Stand, ho, who is there? Horatio, friends to this ground. Marcellus, and liegemen to the Dane. Francisco, give you good night. Marcellus, oh, farewell, honest soldier. Who hath relieved you? Francisco, Bernardo hath my place. Give you good night. Exit Francisco. Marcellus, hola, Bernardo. Bernardo, say, what, is Horatio there? Horatio, a piece of him. Bernardo, welcome, Horatio. Welcome, good Marcellus. Horatio, what, has this thing appeared again tonight? Bernardo, I have seen nothing. Marcellus, Horatio says 'tis but our fantasy, and will not let belief take hold of him, touching this dreaded sight twice seen of us. Therefore, I have entreated him along with us to watch the minutes of this night, that if again this apparition come, he may approve our eyes and speak to it. Horatio, tush, tush, 'twill not appear. Bernardo, sit down a while, and let us once again assail your ears, that are so fortified against our story. What we have two nights seen. Horatio, well, sit we down, and let us hear Bernardo speak of this. Bernardo, last night of all, when yon same star that's westward from the pole has made this course to illume that part of heaven where now it burns, Marcellus and myself, the bell then beating, enter ghost. Peace, break thee off. Look where it comes again. Bernardo, in the same figure, like the king that's dead. Marcellus, thou art a scholar. Speak to it, Horatio. Bernardo, looks a not like the king, Mark it, Horatio. Horatio, most like. It harrows me with fear and wonder. Bernardo, it would be spoke to. Marcellus, question it, Horatio. Horatio, what art thou that usurp this time of night, together with that fair and warlike form, in which the majesty of buried Denmark did sometimes march? By heaven, I charge thee, speak. Marcellus, it is offended. Bernardo, see, it stalks away. Horatio, stay, speak, speak. I charge thee, speak. Exit, ghost. Marcellus, 'tis gone and will not answer. Bernardo, how now, Horatio? You tremble and look pale. Is not this something more than fantasy? What think you want? Horatio, before my God, I might not this believe without the sensible and true avouch of my own eyes. Marcellus, is it not like the king? Horatio, as thou art to thyself, such was the very armor he had on when he, the ambitious Norway, combated. So frowned he once when, in an angry parley, he smote the sledded Pollocks on the ice. 'Tis strange. Marcellus, thus twice before in jump, at this dead hour, with martial stalk, hath he gone by our watch. Horatio, in what particular thought to work, I know not, but in the gross and scope of mine opinion, this bodes some strange eruption to our state. Marcellus, good now, sit down, and tell me, he that knows, why this same strict and most observant watch so nightly tolls the subject of the land, and why such daily cast of brazen cannon and foreign mart for implements of war? Why such impress of shipwrights, whose sore task does not divide the Sunday from the week? What might be toward that this sweaty haste doth make the night joint labor with the day? Who is it that can inform me? Horatio, that can I. At least the whisper goes on. Our last king, whose image even but now appeared to us, was, as you know, by Fortinbras of Norway, thereto pricked on by a most emulant pride, dared to the combat in which our valiant Hamlet, for this side of our own, or our known world esteemed him, did slay this Fortinbras, who, by a sealed compact, well ratified by law and heraldry, did forfeit, with his life, all those his lands, which he stood seized of, to the conqueror, against the which a moiety competent was gaged by our king, which had returned to the inheritance of Fortinbras. Had he been vanquisher, as by the same comart and carriage of the article designed, his fell to Hamlet. Now, sir, young Fontenbras, of unimproved metal hot and full, hath in the skirts of Norway here and there sharked up a list of lawless resolutes for food and diet to some enterprise that hath a stomach in it, which is no other, as it doth well appear unto our state, but to recover us by strong hand and terms compulsatory, those foresaid lands so by his father lost, and this, I take it, is the main motive of our preparations, the source of this our watch, and the chief head of this post-haste and romage in the land. Bernardo, I think it be no other, but even so. Well may it sort that this portentous figure comes armed through our watch, so like the king that was and is the question of these wars. Horatio, a mote it is to trouble the mind's eye. In the most high and palmy state of Rome, a little ere the mightiest Julius fell, the graves stood tententless, and the sheeted dead did squeak and gibber in the Roman streets, as stars with trains of fire and dews of blood, disasters in the sun, and the moist star, upon whose influence Neptune's empire stands, was sick almost to doomsday with eclipse. And even the like precurs of feared events, as harbingers preceding still the fates and prologue to the omen coming on, have heaven and earth together demonstrated unto our climatures and countrymen. Enter Ghost. But soft behold, lo, where it comes again. I'll cross it, though it blast me. Stay, illusion. The ghost spreads his arms. If thou hast any sound or use of voice, speak to me. If there be any good thing to be done, that may to thee do ease and grace to me. Speak to me. If thou art privy to the country's fate, which happily foreknowing may avoid, oh, speak! Or, if thou hast abhorred in thy life extorted treasure in the womb of earth, for which, they say, you spirits oft walk in death. The cock crows. Speak of it. Stay and speak. Stop it, Marcellus. Marcellus. Shall I strike at it with my partisan? Horatio. Do, if it will not stand. Bernardo. 'Tis here. Horatio. 'Tis here. Marcellus. 'Tis gone. Exit Ghost. We do it wrong, being so majestical, to offer it the show of violence, for it is as the air, invulnerable, and our vain blows malicious mockery. Bernardo. It was about to speak when the cock crew. Horatio. And then it started like a guilty thing upon a fearful summons. I have heard the cock, that is, the trumpet of the morn, doth with his lofty and shrill-sounding throat awake the god of day, and, at his warning, whether in sea or fire, in earth or air, the extravagant and erring spirit hies to his confine, and of the truth herein this present object made probation. Marcellus. It faded on the crowing of the cock. Some say that ever against that season comes wherein our Savior's birth is celebrated, the bird of dawning singeth all night long. And then, they say, no spirit dare stir abroad. The nights are wholesome, then no planet strike, no fairy takes, nor witch hath power to charm. So hallowed and so gracious is that time. Horatio. So I have heard, and do in part believe it. But look, the morn in russet mantle clad walks o'er the dew of yon high eastward hill. Break we our watch, and by my advice let us impart what we have seen tonight unto young Hamlet, for upon my life this spirit, dumb to us, will speak to him. Do you consent we shall acquaint him with it, as needful in our loves, fitting our duty? Marcellus, let's do it, I pray. And I this morning know where we shall find him most convenient. Exeunt. Scene 2. Scene 2 begins with a flourish of trumpets. Enter Claudius, King of Denmark, Gertrude the Queen, counselors including Polonius and his son Laertes, Hamlet, cum allies including Voltimond and Cornelius. The King. Though yet of Hamlet, our dear brother's death, the memory be green, and that it is us befitted to bear our hearts in grief, and our whole kingdom to be contracted in one brow of woe, yet so far hath discretion fought with nature that we with wisest sorrow think on him, together with remembrance of ourselves. Therefore our sometime sister, now our queen, the imperial jointress, to this warlike state have we, as 'twere with a defeated joy, with an auspicious and dropping eye, with mirth and funeral, and with dirge and marriage, in equal scale weighing delight and dole, taken to wife. Nor have we herein barred your better wisdoms, which have freely gone with this fair along. For all our thanks, now follows that you know, young Fortinbras, holding a weak supposal of our worth, or thinking by our late brother's death our state to be disjoint and out of frame, colleagued with this dream of his advantage. He hath not failed to pester us with message importing the surrender of those lands lost by his father, with all bands of law, to our most valiant brother. So much for him. Now, for ourself, and for this time of meeting. Thus much the business is. We have here writ to Norway, uncle of young Fortinbras, who, impotent and bedrid, scarcely hears of his nephew's purpose, to suppress his further gate herein, in that the levies, the lists, and full proportions are all made out of his subject. And we here dispatch you, good Cornelius, and you, Voltimond, four bearers of this greeting to old Norway, giving to you no further personal power, to business with the king, more than the scope of these delayed articles allow. Farewell, and let your haste commend your duty. Cornelius and Voltimond speak at the same time, and that in all things, until we show our duty. The king. We doubt it nothing. Heartily farewell. Exeunt Voltimond and Cornelius. And now, Laertes, what's the news with you? You told us of some suit. What is it, Laertes? You cannot speak of reason to the Dane, and lose your voice. What wouldst thou beg, Laertes? That shall not be my offer, not thy asking. The head is not more native to the heart, the hand more instrumental to the mouth, than is the throne of Denmark to thy father. What wouldst thou have, Laertes? Laertes, my dread lord, your leave and favor to return to France, for whence, though willingly, I came to Denmark to show my duty in your coronation. Yet now I must confess the duty done, my thoughts and wishes bend again toward France, and bow them to your gracious leave and pardon. The king, have you your father's leave? What says Polonius? Polonius, he hath, my lord, wrung from me my slow leave by laborsome petition, and at last, upon his will, I sealed my hard consent. I do beseech you give him leave to go. The king, take thy fair hour, Laertes. Time be thine, and thy best graces spend it at thy will. But now my cousin Hamlet, and my son, Hamlet, saying aside, little more than kin, and less than kind. The king, how is it that the clouds still hang on you? Hamlet, not so, my lord, I am too much in the sun. Queen, good Hamlet, cast thy nighted color off, and let thine eye look like a friend on Denmark. Do not forever, with thy veiled lids, seek for thy noble father in the dust. Thou knowest 'tis common, all that lives must die, passing through nature to eternity. Hamlet, ay, madam, it is common. Queen, if it be, why seems it so particular with thee? Hamlet, seems, madam? Nay, it is. I know not seems. 'Tis not alone my inky cloak, good mother, nor customary suits of solemn black, nor windy separation of forced breath, no, nor the fruitful river in the eye, nor the dejected heavier of the visage, together with all forms, moods, shapes of grief, that can denote me truly. These indeed seem, for they are actions that a man might play. But I have that within which passes show. These but the trappings and the suits of woe. The king. 'Tis sweet and commendable in your nature, Hamlet, to give these mourning duties to your father. But you must know your father lost a father. That father lost his, and the survivor bound in filial obligation for some term to do obsequious sorrow. But to the preserver in obstinate and condolement is a course of impious stubbornness. 'Tis unmanly grief. It shows a will most incorrect to heaven, a heart unfortified, a mind impatient. and understanding simple and unschooled, for what we know must be, and is as common as any the most vulgar thing to sense. Why should we, in our peevish opposition, take it to heart? Fie, 'tis a fault to heaven, a fault against the dead, a fault to nature, to reason most absurd, whose common theme is death of fathers, and who still hath cried, from the first course till he that died today. This must be so. We pray you throw to earth this unprevailing woe, and think of us as a father. For let the world take note, you are the most immediate to our throne, and with no less nobility of love than that which dearest father bears his son, do I impart toward you. For your intent in going back to school in Wittenberg, it is most retrograde to our desire, and we beseech you, bend you to remain here in the cheer and comfort of our eye, our chiefest courtier, cousin, and our son. Queen, let not thy mother lose her prayers, Hamlet. I pray thee stay with us. Go not to Wittenberg. Hamlet, I shall in all my best obey you, madam. King, why, 'tis a loving and fair reply. Be as ourself in Denmark. Madam, come, this gentle and unforced accord of Hamlet sits smiling to my heart, in grace whereof no jocund health that Denmark drinks today, but the great cannon to the clouds shall tell, and the king's rouse, the heaven shall brew it again, re-speaking earthly thunder, come away, as a flourish of horns, exeunt all but Hamlet. Hamlet, oh, that this too sallied flesh would melt, thaw, and resolve itself into a dew, or that the everlasting had not fixed his cannon against self-slaughter. O God, God, how weary, stale, flat, and unprofitable seem to me all the uses of this world. Fie, aunt, aunt, fie, 'tis an unweeded garden that grows to seed. Things rank and gross in nature possess it merely. That it should come to this, but 2 months dead, nay, not so much, not two, so excellent a king that was to this Hyperion, to a satyr, so loving to my mother, that he might not beteem the winds of heaven, visitor face too roughly, heaven and earth. Must I remember? Why, she would hang on him, as if increase our appetite had grown. But what it fed on, and yet within a month, let me not think on it. Frailty, thy name is woman. A little month, or ere those shoes were old with which she followed my poor father's body, like Niobe, all tears. Why, she, O God, a beast that wants discourse of reason, would have mourned longer, married with my uncle, my father's brother, but no more like my father than I to Hercules. Within a month, ere yet the salt of most unrighteous tears had left the flushing of her galled eyes, she married. Oh, most wicked speed, to post with such dexterity to incestuous sheets! It is not, nor it cannot, come to good, but break my heart, for I must hold my tongue. Enter Horatio, Marcellus, and Bernardo. Horatio, hail to your lordship. Hamlet, I am glad to see you well. Horatio, or do I forget myself? Horatio, the same, my lord, and your poor servant ever. Hamlet, sir, my good friend, I'll change that name with you. And what make you from Wittenberg, Horatio? Marcellus? Marcellus, my good lord. Hamlet, I am very glad to see you. To Bernardo, good even, sir. But what, in faith, make you from Wittenberg? Horatio, a truant disposition. Good, my lord. Hamlet, I would not hear your enemy say so, nor shall you do my ear that violence to make it truster of your own report against yourself. I know you are no truant, but what is your affair in Elsinore? We'll teach you to drink deep ere you depart. Horatio, my lord, I came to see your father's funeral. Hamlet, I prithee, do not mock me, fellow student. I think it was to see my mother's wedding. Horatio, indeed, my lord, it followed hard upon. Hamlet, thrift, thrift, Horatio. The funereal baked meats did coldly furnish forth the marriage tables. Would I had met my dearest foe in heaven, or ever I had seen that day, Horatio. My father, methinks I see my father. Horatio, where, my lord? Hamlet, in my mind's eye, Horatio. Horatio, I saw him once, was a goodly king. Hamlet, was a man, take him for all in all. I shall not look upon his like again. Horatio, my lord, I think I saw him yesternight. Hamlet, saw who? Horatio, my lord, the king, your father. Hamlet, the king, my father. Horatio, season your admiration for a while, with an attent ear, till I may deliver, upon the witness of these gentlemen, this marvel to you. Hamlet, for God's love, let me hear. Horatio, two nights together had these gentlemen, Marcellus and Bernardo, on their watch, in the dead waste and middle of the night, been thus encountered. A figure like your father, armed at point exactly, capape, appears before them, and with solemn march goes slow and stately by them. Thrice he walked by their oppressed and fear-surprised eyes, within his truncheon's length, whilst they, distilled almost to jelly with the act of fear, stand dumb and speak not to him. This to me, in dreadful secrecy, in part they did. And I with them the third night kept the watch, where, as they had delivered both in time, form of the thing, each word made true and good, the apparition comes. I knew your father. These hands are not more like. Hamlet, but where was this? Marcellus, my lord, upon the platform where we watch. Hamlet, did you not speak to it? Horatio, my lord, I did, but answer made it none. Yet once methought it lifted up its head and did address itself to motion, like as it would speak. But even then the morning cock crew loud, and at that sound it shrunk in haste away and vanished from our sight. Hamlet, 'tis very strange. Horatio, as I do live, my honored lord, 'tis true, and we did think it writ down in our duty to let you know of it. Hamlet, indeed, sirs, but this troubles me. Hold you the watch tonight? All. We do, my lord. Hamlet, armed, say you? All. Armed, my lord. Hamlet, from top to toe? All. My lord, from head to foot. Hamlet, then saw you not his face? Horatio, oh yes, my lord, he wore his beaver up. Hamlet, what, looked he frowningly? Horatio, a countenance more in sorrow than in anger. Hamlet, pale or red? Horatio, nay, very pale. Hamlet, and fixed his eyes upon you? Horatio, most constantly. Hamlet, I would I had been there. Horatio, it would have much amazed you. Hamlet, very like. Stayed it long? Horatio, while one with moderate haste might tell, 100. Both, longer, longer. Horatio, not when I saw it. Hamlet, his beard was grizzled, no? Horatio, it was as I have seen it in his life, a sable silvered. Hamlet, I will watch tonight. Perchance 'twill walk again. Horatio, I warrant it will. Hamlet, if it assume my noble father's person, I'll speak to it through hell itself should gape and bid me hold my peace. I pray you all, if you have hitherto concealed this sight, let it be tenable in your silence still. And whatsoever else shall hap tonight, give it an understanding, but no tongue. I will requite your loves. So fare you well. Upon the platform, 'twixt 11 and 12, I'll visit you. All. Our duty to your honor, Hamlet. Your loves as mine to you. Farewell. Exeunt, all but Hamlet. My father's spirit and arms? All is not well. I doubt some foul play. Would the night were come. Till then, sit still, my soul. Foul deeds will rise, though all the earth overwhelm them to men's eyes. Exit. Scene 3. Enter Laertes and Ophelia, his sister. Laertes. My necessaries are embarked. Farewell. And, sister, as the winds give benefit, and convoy is assistant, do not sleep, but let me hear from you. Ophelia. Do you doubt that? Laertes. For Hamlet, and the trifling of his favor, hold it a fashion and a toy in blood, a violet in the youth of primy nature. Forward, not permanent, sweet, not lasting, the perfume and suppliance of a minute, no more. Ophelia. No more but so? Laertes. Think it no more. For nature crescent does not glow alone, enthuse in bulk, but as this temple waxes, the inward service of the mind and soul grows wide withal. Perhaps he loves you now, and now no soil nor cautel doth besmirch the virtue of his will. But you must fear his greatness weighed. His will is not his own, for he himself is subject to his birth. He may not, as valued persons do, carve for himself, for on his choice depends the safety and health of this whole state, and therefore must his choice be circumscribed unto the voice and yielding of that body, whereof he is the head. Then, if he says he loves you, it fits your wisdom so far to believe it, as he in his particular act and place may give his saying deed, which is no further than the main voice of Denmark goes withal. Then weigh what loss your honor may sustain, if with too credent ear you list his songs, or lose your heart, or your chaste treasure open to his unmastered importunity. Fear it, Ophelia, fear it, my dear sister, and keep you in the rear of your affection, out of the shot and danger of desire. The chariot's maid is prodigal enough if she unmask her beauty to the moon. Virtue itself scapes not calamous strokes. The canker galls the infants of the spring too oft before their buttons he be disclosed. And in the morn and liquid dew of youth, contagious blastiments are most imminent. Beware then, best safety lies in fear. Youth to itself rebels, though none else near. Ophelia. I shall the effect of this good lesson keep as watchman to my heart. But, good my brother, do not, as some ungracious pastors do, show me the steep and thorny way to heaven, whiles like a puffed and reckless libertine himself, the primrose path of dalliance treads and wrecks not his own reed. Laertes. Oh, fear me not. Enter Polonius. I stay too long, but here my father comes. A double blessing is a double grace. Occasion smiles upon a second leave. Polonius. Yet here, Laertes. Aboard, aboard, for shame. The wind sits on the shoulder of your sail, and you are stayed for. There, my blessing with thee, and these few precepts in thy memory, look thou character. Give thy thoughts no tongue, nor any unproportioned, though his act. Be thou familiar, but by no means vulgar. Those friends thou hast, and their adoption tried. Grapple then unto thy soul with hoops of steel. But do not dull thy palm with entertainment. Of each new-hatched unfledged courage, beware of entrance to a quarrel. But being in, bear it that thou opposed may beware of thee. Give every man thy ear, but few thy voice. Take each man's censure, but reserve thy judgment. Costly thy habit as thy purse can buy, but not expressed in fancy, rich, not gaudy, for the apparel oft proclaims the man, and they in France of the best rank and station are of a most select and generous chief in that. Neither a borrower nor a lender be, for loan oft loses both itself and friend, and borrowing dulls the edge of husbandry. This above all, to thine own self be true, and it must follow as the night the day, thou canst not then be false to any man. Farewell, my blessing season this in thee. Laertes, most humbly do I take my leave, my lord. Polonius, the time invites you, go, your servants tend. Laertes, farewell, Ophelia, and remember well what I have said to you. Ophelia, 'tis in my memory locked, and you yourself shall keep thy key of it. Laertes, farewell. Exit Laertes. Polonius, what is it, Ophelia, he has said to you? Ophelia, so please you, something touching the Lord Hamlet. Polonius, marry, well bethought. 'Tis hold me he hath very oft of late given private time to you, and you yourself have of your audience been most free and bounteous. If it be so, as so 'tis put on me, and that in way of caution, I must tell you, you do not understand yourself so clearly as it behooves my daughter and your honor. What is it between you? Give me up the truth. Ophelia, he hath, my lord, of late made many tenders of his affection to me. Polonius, affection? Pooh! You speak like a green girl, unsifted in such perilous circumstance. Do you believe his tenders, as you call them? Ophelia, I do not know, my lord. What should I think? Polonius, marry, I will teach you. Think yourself a baby, that you have taken these tenders for true pay, which are not sterling. Tend to yourself more dearly, or, not to crack the wind of the poor phrase, running it thus, you'll tender me a fool. Ophelia, my lord, he hath inopportuned me with love in honorable fashion. Polonius, aye, fashion you may call it. Go to, go to. Ophelia, and hath give countenance to his speech, my lord, with almost all the holy vows of heaven. Polonius, aye, springs to catch woodcocks. I do know, when the blood burns, how prodigal the soul lends the tongue vows. These blazes, daughter, giving more light than heat, extinct in both, even in their promise, as it is a making, you must not take for fire. From this time be something scanter of your maiden presence. Set your entreatments at a higher rate than a command to parley. For Lord Hamlet, believe so much in him that he is young, and with a larger tether may he walk than may be given to you. In few, Ophelia, do not believe his vows, for they are brokers, not of that dye which their investments show, but more implorators of unholy suits, breathing like sanctified and pious bawds. The better to beguile, this is for all. I would not, in plain terms, from this time forth, have you so slander any moment leisure as to give words or talk with the Lord Hamlet. Look to it, I charge you. Come your ways. Ophelia, I shall obey, my lord. Exeunt. Scene 4. Enter Hamlet, Horatio, and Marcellus. Hamlet, the air bites shrewdly. It is very cold. Horatio, it is a nipping and eager air. Hamlet, what hour now? Horatio, I think it lacks of 12. Marcellus, no, it is struck. Horatio, indeed, I heard it not. It then draws near the season wherein the spirit held his wont to walk. A flourish of trumpets, and then two pieces go off. What does this mean, my lord? Hamlet, the king doth wake tonight and take his rouse, keeps wassail, and the swaggering upspring reels. And as he drains his draughts of Rhenish down, the kettle drum and trumpet thus bray out the triumph of his pledge. Horatio, is it a custom? Hamlet, ay, merriest. But to my mind, though, I am native here, and to the manner born, it is a custom more honored in the breach than the observance. This heavy-headed revel, east and west, makes us traduced and taxed of other nations. They clep us drunkards, and with swinish phrase soil our addition, and indeed it takes from our achievements, though performed at height, the pith and marrow of our attribute. So oft it chances in particular men, that for some vicious mole of nature in them, as in their birth wherein they are not guilty, since nature cannot choose its origin, by the overgroweth of some complexion, oft breaking down the pales and forts of reason, or by some habit that too much o'er the leavens. The form of plausive manners that these men, carrying, I say, the stamp of one defect, being nature's livery or fortune's star, his virtues else, be they as pure as grace, as infinite as man may undergo, shall in the general censure take corruption from that particular fault. The dram of evil doth all the noble substance often doubt, to his own scandal. Enter the ghost. Horatio, look, my lord, it comes. Hamlet, angels and ministers of grace defend us. Be thou a spirit of health or goblin damned. Bring with thee airs from heaven or blasts from hell. Be thy intents wicked or charitable. Thou comest in such a questionable shape that I will speak to thee. I'll call thee Hamlet, king, father, royal dame. Oh, answer me. Let me not burst in ignorance, but tell why thy canonized bones, hearsed in death, have burst their cerements. Why the sepulchre wherein we saw thee quietly interred hath oped his ponderous and marble jaws to cast thee up again. What may this mean, that thou, dead corse, again in completed steel, revisits thus the glimpses of the moon, making night hideous, and we fools of nature so horridly to shake our disposition with thought beyond the reaches of our souls? Say, why is this? Wherefore? What should we do? The ghost beckons. Horatio, it beckons you to go away with it, as if it some impartment did desire to you alone. Marcellus, look, with what courteous action it waves to you in a more removed ground. But do not go with it. Horatio, no, by no means. Hamlet, it will not speak, then I will follow it. Horatio, do not, my lord. Hamlet, why? What should be thy fear? I do not set my life at a pin's fee. And for my soul, what can it do to that? Being a thing immortal as itself, it waves me forth again. I'll follow it. Horatio, what if it tempt you toward the flood, my lord, or to the dreadful summit of the cliff that beetles over his base into the sea, and there assume some other horrible form which might deprive your sovereignty of reason and draw you into madness? Think of it. And draw you into madness. Think of it. The very place puts toys of desperation without your motive into every brain that looks so many fathoms to the sea and hears it roar beneath. Hamlet, it weighs me still. Go on, I'll follow thee. Marcellus, you shall not go, my lord. Hamlet, hold off your hands. Horatio, be ruled, You shall not go. Hamlet, my fate cries out, and makes each pretty artery in this body as hardy as the Niemann's lion's nerve. Still I am called. Unhand me, gentlemen. By heaven, I'll make a ghost of him that lets me. I say away. Go on. I'll follow thee. Exeunt Ghost and Hamlet. Horatio. He waxes desperate with imagination. Marcellus. Let's follow. 'Tis not fit thus to obey him. Horatio. Have after. To what issue will this come? Marcellus. Thump that something is rotten in the state of Denmark. Horatio. Heaven will direct it. Marcellus. Nay, let's follow him. Exeunt.